to love him. And to be in his house. Brother David, would you step back and just knock on the door that Brother Hughes know? Come up. We're pleased to have our brother with us. I met him years ago, just briefly, and then recently, just again, a few months back, a couple of months back. And it's been a real joy to me just in the short time that I have known Brother Hughes. He has a lot of joy. I told you the other day, he'd be like Brother Daniel when Brother Daniel gets a little older. There's a lot of joy, a lot of enthusiasm. And you know, we've said it many times that we should be the happiest people on the face of the earth. And I know we fight battles, but still yet. Because we've been given so much.
That's right.
We have such a blessing from the Lord that He's poured out upon us. So we should be happy. Should have joy in the Lord. It is our strength. But we're glad to have Him with us tonight. We're glad to have His wife and His daughter with us and to be along. I know we're ministering out on the road. And ministering out on the road by yourself. Or, you know, it's nice to have your wife with you. You know, it's just my wife has done that a few times with me. And so we know that it's always a blessing to have someone there besides just four walls and a motel room. But so may the Lord richly bless you. You make yourself at home with us, and you'll find out that we are believers of an end time message. And we're not ashamed of it. We're not ashamed of a prophet that God has sent in our day. We don't worship Him as a man. We don't worship Him in any form or fashion, but we do give honor to that office.
Right.
The same honor that Jeremiah had or Isaiah had, and the words that were spoken through that man and through that ministry, it's a vindicated word. It is worth listening to. As I said Sunday, it's worth quoting. And it does. If I'm a Branhamite for quoting Brother Branham, then I'm a Paulite for quoting Paul and anybody else in the Bible. Right? That's just like Brother Branham said that the word holy roller, they just put that name over on the believers in that hour, right? Just a filthy name of some sort, just to put some shadow over there. They just want to call you something, but, you know, it is a rejected, bleeding word.
Right.
And it had to be rejected.
Right.
So we're identified with that rejected word. Let's sing that song, Be It Unto Me, According to Thy Word. As we get ready to give the service to our brother, he's needed just another minute or two. So let's just continue to worship the Lord. I tell you, this song is, to me, is the bride song. To say, Lord, here, because we didn't, like I said, we didn't know what we needed. But we've been given a message. The angel messenger has come to us, and we are to produce and pregnate and be pregnant by the word and produce the life of Christ today. Amen. So let's sing this together.
Oh, be it unto me according to your word, according to your promises, I can stand secure. Oh, God, upon our heart, the truth that sets me free.
Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father,
We're grateful tonight that you've allowed us to come together once again, this side of eternity. And Lord, that you've given us a desire in our hearts to feed upon the Word of God. We know, Lord, that in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. And that same Word made flesh. And Lord, we want to see not only that Word made flesh in Christ, we want to see it not only made flesh and manifest in the prophet, but Lord, as we look in the mirror of your Word, we want to see it. Deity, not just in the manger or in Christ only, but may that same Christ, that same deity, may it be manifesting in us. Lord Jesus, grant, Lord, the desire of every heart here tonight. Fulfill the hunger, Lord. Fulfill the desire. You did say in your Word, whatsoever thing you desire, when you pray, believe you receive it and you shall have it. And again, it's written, Lord, that you would give the very desires of the heart unto those whose ways please you. And Lord, if our ways are not pleasing, may you correct us tonight. Show us how that we might be more pleasing. That's why we've come here, Lord. Grant these blessings now as we're claiming this service together for your glory. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. Now, if you have your Bibles, I will invite you to turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 2. And we're going to read from the Ephesian church age in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7. And then I'll let you be seated once we read the scripture. Apologize for keeping you standing a little bit there, but I believe that was certainly an appropriate song. And we read now from verse 7, and Ephesians chapter 2. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And may the good Lord add his blessings now to the reading of his word. If you'll turn around and shake your brother's hand, your sister's hand beside you, maybe behind you, say, God bless you, pilgrim. Good to be in the house of the Lord. You may be seated. First of all, I'd like to say that I deem it a very special privilege to be back in Van Buren again. It's been a while. And I don't know how many years it's been. You'll have to ask your pastor about that. But he told me I've been here before, and I just have confidence to believe that he knows what he's talking about. And there's only one of me that I remember that I know of. And but it's really, I feel it's the will of the Lord, the service tonight. I appreciate the invitation, the hungry hearts, and people with expectation in their hearts. How many are looking forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus? Amen. And I believe that coming is in progress right now, don't you? It's a process that's actually taking place right now. And so I trust that as we take just a few minutes tonight to look into the Word of the Lord, your hearts will be encouraged. And, you know, when you consider St. John 6:63, Jesus speaking there, he said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. That's right. And so tonight, let's just believe that he'll speak to us, okay?
Amen.
If I speak to you, it wouldn't amount to too much. Or if we speak to one another, but if we can recognize it as the voice of God, the vindicated word of God, then we'll know it's him speaking. Amen?
Amen.
It'll be according to the written word. And it'll run in continuity from Genesis to Revelation.
Right.
And it'll be in continuity with the spoken word.
That's right.
You believe that?
Right.
You believe God's spoken in this day?
Yes.
A vindicated message. And the scripture in the last book, the last chapter, says the plagues would be added to anyone who would add to those words of the prophecy of the book. Not just the book, but the words of the prophecy of the book. We don't want to add to the words of the prophecy of the book. And we believe this message is indeed the prophecy of the book. Amen? And we don't want to take away from the words of the prophecy of the book. So both written and spoken, I like the way Brother Billy Paul did it one time. He said, you take this spoken word, and it's like the front and back sights on a rifle. He said, you just line them up, amen, and you hit the target every time.
Yeah.
And, you know, not to add to what he said necessarily, but maybe just to try to get a clear understanding of what he was trying to say by that, and he would lay his Bible out like this and have a spoken word book there. Said it's like the front and back sights on the rifle. And you know, the front sights on the rifle is fixed.
Right. Amen.
Is that right?
That's right.
And then the back one's a little bit adjustable. But we believe the prophet already done the adjusting. And now what we need to do is just get ourselves lined up. You see? With the word, the spoken word, and the written word. And then we don't aim it at one another. We aim the rifle at the devil. Is that right? He's our target, and we're not here shooting at one another. We're here shooting at the devil. And we want to shoot him right out of the saddle, don't we? Praise the Lord. And he, when he's exposed, he's powerless.
That's right.
That's right.
And he is a real adversary. He's a real enemy. And you're no match for him, and I'm no match for him. But we know somebody who is.
Amen.
And when he's exposed, once again, he is absolutely defeated. He's powerless. So let's just expose the devil tonight. You want to?
Yeah.
Oh, if it's me, I want to expose sure enough. If it's new, or if it's in the church, or if it's around wherever the devil, you know, wherever the sons of God are gathered together, you know, he has a tendency to be there.
Yeah, right.
How many knows that?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was there, you know, whenever the sons of God, you know, gathered together, and Satan was right there, and that's whenever the good Lord said, have you considered my servant Job?
That's right.
Amen. And so, the devil is still out to defeat and try to defeat, but we know that we have already read it in the back of the book, and we win. We know what the outcome of the devil is. And if he ever tries to get you to, you know, how many the devil's ever tried to bring up your past, try to, you know, make you, put you on a guilt trip or something. Well, if he ever tries to bring up your past and remind you of your past, especially if you put it out of the blood, that's sea of forgetfulness. Okay? You just remind him of his future.
Amen.
Yeah. All right.
Somebody say, you ain't got too bright a future. Well, he's got a bright future in the lake of fire. Is that right? And so we know what his outcome is. We read it in the back of the book.
Yeah. Amen.
And we know we're fighting a defeated enemy.
Yes.
What's the use in getting, you know, pushing the panic button when you know the devil's already defeated?
Right. Amen.
Amen. Why, you can just relax. We know the outcome.
Right.
No use to get excited about the few little in-betweens. You know, the things, a lot of things can happen in between here and there, but what's going to happen when we get there?
Right.
And we've just about got there, folks. We've come to the end of the road. Is that right?
Right.
And so tonight we want to consider this subject of the tree of life. And frankly, I just come to this conclusion to speak on this subject just before I come into the out of the study here this evening. And I had no forethought about this, though I've spoken on the subject before, even in different countries and overseas and so forth. And it's one of my favorite subjects. But I had no idea. Well, of course, like I mentioned to Brother Tony, I said, you know, the problem in this message is not finding something to preach about. It's to try to find what would be timely. You know, at that particular time, what are you supposed to speak about?
Yeah.
And so I believe this, too, that the Holy Spirit has a way of using a subject and bringing it back around and speaking to every need that's in the congregation.
Amen.
And so he knows our language, he knows our needs, and he knows our names, he knows, amen, our every care. And so I believe he's able to speak to us here tonight. We can just get ourselves out of the way and stay out of the way, not only the speaker but the hearers, have to be resigned, not to have our own thought coming, but to say, Lord, you speak to me. If he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, whether it would be the Lord Jesus up here speaking, or whether it be Brother Branham up here, or whether it be your pastor up here, or whether it be myself up here, he's still able to speak to your need.
Amen.
And he wants to do it.
Amen.
But you've got to have that desire.
That's right.
And you've got to have an ear to hear.
Right.
Remember the scripture we read? He that hath an ear,
that's right,
let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the what? Churches, plural. So as we found the proper divine definition of that word, there's churches, he's talking about the true vine and the false vine.
Yeah, that's right.
He addresses, amen, both vines, because if we call ourselves Christians and we're not Christians, then he's still obligated to bring the word to us to judge us, where we can judge ourselves either right or wrong. And so the word of the Lord comes to both classes, both churches, and the true and the false vine, and also the believer and the make-believer. All right, so tonight, let's just consider just a moment this promise to the Ephesian church age. You might say, Brother Hughes, I'm not living in the Ephesian church age, so I don't need to know what the promise was to the overcomer of that age almost 2,000 years ago. I'm living in the Laodicean age, or I'm living in the bride age, or the wheat age, or the free age, or the astronaut age, whatever you might want to say. However, the overcomers of this last church age have the promise of all the previous rewards of every other church age combined together is given to the overcomer of this age.
Amen.
And this is just one of all the many promises and the incentives that God gives us to make us overcomers.
Right.
God gives incentives to the church to be overcomers.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. It's quite a fight. We've got to fight. But, oh my, even though the battle is greater and the wickedness is compounded together and is worse in this age than it ever has been, the darker, yet the promises of God are greater and the powers of God are compounded together to the believer.
Amen.
And God would not have promised a double portion unless he knew you needed it.
That's right.
That's right.
But did he promise a double portion to the believer of this age?
Yes. That's
right. Well, you better know he did. And you better know that you need it.
That's right.
If God promises something, you better get in position to say, God, I want to see it manifested in my life.
Amen.
Oh my, God help us. One of the promises here to the overcomers of the church ages is this great promise of being made a partaker of the tree of life. To feed on the tree of life. The him that overcometh. Now this is, notice, him singular. It's the individual that God is dealing with. It's the individual that God always identifies himself with, never a group.
Right.
His identification is always with the individual. Oh, praise the Lord.
Yeah.
You must have the confirmation of the token in your heart and life.
Amen.
You must have the confirmation of the presence of God in your life.
Yes.
And so, him, to him, singular, that overcometh. The church is made up of many of these overcomers. But you must know that you're the overcomer, because your pastor can't overcome the things that you're ordained to overcome.
Right.
Sure, he can overcome and bring the word. He can overcome for you, even as Christ overcame for us at Calvary, etc., etc.
Right.
But you've got some overcoming to do.
That's right.
Hallelujah. And God wants you to know that you are an overcomer.
Amen.
He wants you to realize that you, as an individual, can overcome the devil. Amen. And he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. All right. So he that overcometh will I give. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life that is in the midst of the paradise of God. Now let's consider here just for a moment the location of this tree. And also let's consider what the tree really is. First of all, as the prophet of God pointed out, the tree of life is mentioned three times in the book of Genesis and three times in the book of Revelation, the first and the last book. And by the way, those are the two books the devil hates the worst, the most. Is that right? And in all six places, the tree of life is speaking of the person of Jesus Christ. All right? Not a natural fruit tree or any kind of a natural tree at all, but the supernatural tree of life, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right. Oh, hallelujah. I feel good already.
Amen.
And, but you know, let's consider here just a moment now, the location of this tree. First, it was seen in Genesis in the Garden of Eden. It's the first mention of the tree of life. And it was a tree in the midst of the garden. Of all the other trees, see, they was not they could eat of, but there was a tree in the midst that they could not eat of. Now that was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Okay? But now the tree of life was also in the midst of the garden. See, in other words, not something rooted in the ground, but the person of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So we see then that because they partook of the wrong tree, see, they left the tree of life and took. Now what did God give them in the garden? He gave man the very best thing he could give him. He gave him his word.
Yeah, right.
See? And they broke and left the word and went to the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And when they partook of that, instead of staying with the tree of life, which had spoken to them, okay, the tree of life was there. It was God. It was Christ.
Right.
And we see that it's mentioned three times here in the book of Genesis. In every case, it's speaking of the very person of Jesus Christ. All right. Now, here, when we come to the church ages, this same tree is identified to be in the midst of the paradise of God. All right? Now, Jesus said, where there are two or three gathered together in my name. How many came in the name of the Lord Jesus tonight?
Amen.
All right, that's a good two or three of us at least. There I am in the midst. Then the very tree of life is here tonight.
Amen.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
If it doesn't, then the word of God is not true, and God has not kept his word. But he promised the simplest form of the local assembly is where there's just two or three. And we got more than that here tonight. And so we know by virtue of the fact that we did come by faith in his name, that he is obligated. He gladly obligates himself to be in our midst.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Then we're here not feeding upon a man.
Right.
Oh, hallelujah. As the prophet of God put it, we're not feeding upon the man, the word of a man. That will fail.
Right.
But what are we feeding upon? We're feeding upon the body
that's
word
right.
of the Son of Man, and that's none other than the tree of life, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We are feeding upon the unfailing body word of Jesus Christ. Well, if it's the body word, then it would have to be the word in the body. Was Brother Ben, was not the prophet of God part of the body?
Right.
Sure.
Absolutely.
The government shall be upon his shoulders, not upon his head. His shoulders speaks of his earthly strength. Strongest part of a man's body is his shoulders. And the government of the church rests upon the church. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The government, see? Hallelujah. And so we see that Christ has promised to be in our midst and to feed us through the ministry.
Amen.
The channel. See, when you go to Ephesians, it speaks of a church that is compacted together unto the where every joint supplieth. Unto the edifying of itself.
Amen.
In love.
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah. So we see then that we're feeding not on one another. We're not feeding on a man. But we're feeding through man. God has no other channel but man. You understand?
Yeah.
The unfailing body word of the Son of Man, the vindicated word of the hour. Now, so then the tree of life is the person of Jesus Christ. Adam and Eve was forbidden to partake of that tree once they had fallen. And a flaming sword, a cherubim, was put there to guard the way of the tree of life. And then, lest they should partake of it in that state and live forever. But that flaming sword had been sheathed.
Right.
But never was it put away until first it was bloody with the blood of the Lamb. Right. It was death to try to come to the tree of life at that time after the fall. But now it's death if we don't come to the tree of life.
Right. That's right.
We must come to the tree of life. The veil of the temple, the veil between the holy place and the holiest of holies, that veil of badger skins that was made according to the law, was rent. Oh, there he stands, the mighty conqueror, since he rent the veil in two.
Right.
He rent it from the top to the bottom, not from the bottom to the top.
Right.
He showed it was God that did it and not man.
Right.
That thing is some 30 foot tall, from what I understand. And it was rent from the top, not from the bottom.
Right.
It was rent apart. It was separated. And the mercy seat come into plain view. And the mercy seat is the place of the presence of the Shekinah glory of God. And now, amen, everyone is welcome to come, and it's death if we don't come.
Right. Amen.
The tree of life. First of all, let's back up just a little bit further. And in this Ephesian church age, you'll find it in the church age book, Brother Branham emphasizes, and he reads from Ephesians, I believe it's chapter 1, and he says, God, you know, according to us, he hath predestinated us and so forth. You know, Ephesians 1 is one of our favorite passages of Scripture. But in that, after reading the Scripture, he said this: God, in order to give himself a purpose and reason of being, had to predestinate a people who would need redemption. I'll paraphrase that a little bit, but you go back and read it and you'll find it. That's the same meaning. God, in order to give himself a purpose and reason for existence, for being, had to predestinate a people that would need redemption.
Right.
In other words, he can't even show his attributes of being a father or a savior or a healer or anything unless there was a people. So the purpose of God's existence is not to create and maintain the universe and the Milky White Way. That's part of it. But that's the smaller part. God wants you to see the main part is you.
Amen.
The main reason, God's main reason of existing is his church. His whole purpose before the foundation of the world was the church.
Yeah. Right.
And you're part of the church. So God had a... In order to give him... Now look, he existed eternally. And in his mind, he had a plan of redemption. But in order to give himself a reason for existence. In order to give himself a reason for existence. He had to predestinate a people that would need redemption. In other words, you are the reason. I am the reason. The church is the reason. How would you like to be the only person, man, woman, boy, or girl, in the universe? How would you like to be the only self-existing one? What would be your reason of existence if you couldn't have a divine romance? And that's what God planned, and that's what God had. God had a desire. He had a desire for fellowship. He had a desire to be a husband, to be a bridegroom.
Yeah.
And he wanted a bride. So his reason for existence is his bride.
Yeah.
And now his great mystery secret is being made known. And as the prophet of God said in this book right here, Christ, the mystery of God revealed, he said that great hidden mystery that was once hidden in the back part of God's mind is made known right here tonight.
Right.
Right here today, brother. That was a morning message, you know. It started about 10 o'clock in the morning. It ended about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It said the end of the second pull, 2 o'clock.
Right.
Notice, those of you that are spiritual,
right.
The third pull is at hand.
Yeah. Right.
And that was the seventh month, July, just a few more days, 50 years ago.
Amen.
This upcoming month. And if you listen closely to the seventh seal and then go straight to the Christ, the mystery God revealed, it's just like a continuation of the seventh seal message.
Yeah.
The great mystery secret of God made known right here tonight, he said.
Yeah.
What God had in the back part of his mind. Now, it's so simple. And it was made known in a threefold purpose.
Yeah. That's right.
So I'd like to weave that into the message tonight. In our little message on the tree of life. Because God's whole purpose was to share his eternal life. See? When he began to create. See, an artist can only manifest what's on the inside of
him. That's right. That's right.
His artwork speaks of what's his thoughts and his what he had pictured. What he had imagined. Alright? So when God began to create, he begins to reveal his plan. See? It's made manifest. Alright? And when he created in the first day, second day, third day, each day he would say, and it was good. And it was good. And it was good. But when he made man on the sixth day, he said it very good.
That's right.
A little extra word added in there. Every word is important.
Sure.
It's very good. Why? Because now he has brought, amen, in his form of creation. Brother Branham called it a form of evolutionary creation in a sense.
Right.
Not like Darwin's theory, you understand, but higher and higher each time.
That's right.
And then he creates man in his own likeness, in his own image, and he said, hey, it's not only good, it's very good. And in the very next chapter, he said, it's not good. Good, 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 very good, and all of a sudden, it's not good. What's not good? It's not good for man to be alone.
Right, that's right.
Adam, as an extension of God, an amateur God on earth, was so in the very likeness and image of his creator God till he also reflected the lonesomeness that was in the heart of God.
Yeah.
And he began to reflect the plan of redemption
right.
that was in God.
Amen.
And so therefore God put him to sleep when he said it's not good. And he performed the first anesthesia. Tardema is the Greek word for that sleep there. I believe it's a Greek word. And, or Hebrew word, whatever it is there. And a deep sleep. A deep sleep. That's the same kind of, same word that was used when God allowed Saul to be put to sleep. And David come in and took his, you know. Alright, so we see that here then, he is foreshadowing what he's going to do in the second Adam. He's going to take from the second Adam, Christ, the church. God had not yet separated the bride from the groom at Calvary. So when he died, you died.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Yeah. When he was buried, amen, see? And it was because of your sins and my sins that he had to go to Calvary and my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He cried out. And why? Let's consider that just a moment in our little passing tonight. In Hosea, in the book of Hosea, it declares, thou art altogether too pure, of too pure eyes than to behold sin. God cannot even look upon sin. And on Christ was your sins, my sins, and the sins of the world was on him, and God had to forsake him. He became the judgment of God in the third pull of his ministry. It was a judgment ministry. And there he took the judgment of for you. That's why he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. He's already passed from death to life. So I come into judgment. You're already judged when you're in Christ. See? But we want to just be sure that we're in Christ and we're in this tree of life and feeding on the tree of life. Now, it was so ordained of God that this tree of life was not to be partaken of until it was first made flesh. The tree of life could not be partaken of until that same tree was made flesh. In the beginning was the Word. See? From right on down, then the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The whole program of God is the spiritual becoming into material. That's the way the prophet put it in one place. He said, the whole thing of God, it's God condescending down and the supernatural becoming more natural or tangible into manifestation. You see, God could never think in terms of becoming higher. He was the highest already. He could only think in terms of condescending, coming down to redeem fallen man and then to have fellowship with man. Now, so the tree of life, see, became accursed. It almost makes me tremble to think of that, but it's the truth. The tree of life became accursed. Cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree. And so when Jehovah of the Old Testament, none other than Jesus Christ of the New Testament, amen, let me just say this. Why was it that God was crucified? Why was it that Christ was crucified? Thou being a man. He said, for what good work do you stone me? Why do you want to crucify me? What good? I've healed your sick. I've raised your dead. I've done this. Oh, no. Not for any good work would we stone you.
Right.
But thou being a man, makest thyself God. Did you know the Greeks didn't see him when they come? I thought he had. I thought they had. I thought Philip had introduced them, you know, and surely they seen Christ. They was introduced to him, and they even heard the words of Christ. Christ gave them wisdom and said, except a corn of wheat die and fall into the ground. So they were there in his presence, but they failed to see him. Later on in the message, Brother Benham said, the reason the Greeks failed to see Jesus is because he was in his earthly form. Now, if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, don't let us make the same mistake that the Greeks did.
Right.
See? He was hid in a man, God, and they failed to see him.
Yeah.
Because of the form that he came in, the simplicity that he came in. Jesus did not look like some God walking around. And the Bible, that's a direct quote, and we know that the Bible says there was no beauty that we should desire. Think about it. And God changes his forms.
Right.
Now he's a spirit, but he can manifest in different forms.
Yeah, right.
Remember how he did on the road to Emmaus?
Yeah.
All right. Now, 2,000 years ago, that same God that manifested in one member is now manifesting in a many-membered body.
Right.
So when he hid in a man then, but today he's hid in a woman. The bride.
Right.
Christ. That's in
right.
Bride form.
Right.
A weaker vessel, but the same God choosing the simplicity of human badger skins to veil himself.
Amen. Right.
Now, it's been said that if some of us didn't have a little sense of humor, we wouldn't have any sense at all. I think I qualify that category sometimes. But can you imagine how humorous it would be to see those Levites and those curtain makers catching those badgers and sewing them together ere they kill them before they dried their old dead hides? Try to imagine, you know, a badger, he's a mean, stinking scoundrel.
Yeah.
He's got a claws like a bear, teeth like a lion. A badger, he's rough. He's a mean animal. And can you imagine trying to sew a bunch of them together and make a curtain out of them, a veil to hide God behind without killing the badger? You've got to die. You must be born again. There is a process of being born again, and that process includes death. And you'll find the process laid out in a clean, plain formula, step by step, in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 17, 18, all the way through there. If you want to just mark it down, study it sometime. The death process, the new birth process. In Colossians 3 and 3, it says, you're dead, and your life is hid in God through Christ. And Brother Bram said, now what part of it was you died when you was born again? It wasn't your body.
Right.
And he said it wasn't your spirit.
That's right.
He said then it was your soul, which is the nature of the spirit. And let me say tonight that if you haven't come to that point, you cannot even see the kingdom of God. I don't care who's preaching to you or how much manifestation is made before you, how much the pillar of fire even appears visibly before you. You still can't see and receive until you are born again. We must be born again.
Amen.
Jesus said, verily, verily, that is to say, absolutely, absolutely, you must be born again.
Amen.
In other words, to be a partaker of this tree of life, not only does the tree have to be made flesh, but your flesh has to die, and your fleshly thinking has to die, and you must come by divine revelation into the presence of God to be a partaker of the Spirit of God. What is the new birth, Brother Branham?
Right.
The revelation of Jesus Christ personally unto you.
That's right.
Amen. Personally unto you as an individual. Not your pastor's revelation. Not Brother Branham's revelation. Though they're the same. It's got to be your revelation, because no man can call Jesus Lord. No man, singular,
right,
can call Jesus Lord except by the revelation of the Holy Ghost.
That's right. Yeah.
By the Holy Ghost. So we, as individuals, must be partakers of this tree of life. Hallelujah. Think about it now. I'm going to say something, because I believe that you've been taught here. I know your pastor spoke in our church, and I really, really was so it was just so inspiring to me. And powerful, and yet so simple. But now, in this same message right here, Christ the Mystery of God Revealed, Brother Branham, and I'm paraphrasing it, and I could probably turn to it and read it, but Brother Branham put it like this. He said, now when that tree of life was made flesh and then was hung on a cruel Roman tree, cursed is every man that hangeth on the tree. Capital punishment. The precious person of the tree of life became accursed and hung on a cruel Roman tree. See? Poured out the issue of life.
Yes.
Water, blood, and spirit had to be taken from him there. I was way over in Tanzania, and they took me on a little, that's East Africa, and they took me on a little safari to ride out in where the animals lived in the nature, and they had a guide, and we were looking at the lions and driving right through them, and the elephant and the zebra and the all the different wild animals and so forth. It was just wonderful to see them in their own habitat and so forth, instead of seeing them in a zoo. And the guide was a young man in his 30s, perhaps. And on the way back, he was talking about the lion. And he said, we've studied it in our schooling and so forth. And we've got a mystery that we can't seem to solve. And he said, now, the male lion, he don't live as long as the female, the lioness. He eats the choice piece of meat. He sleeps longer, rests more, and die sooner. He don't hunt that much. The pride. The females have to do the hunting. And when the kill is made, he goes in, and I've watched this part myself. I've watched the male lion come to the kill and start eating, and the female will lay down and not even touch it until the male gets finished. I'm not saying that's always the case, but that's kind of the ruling, you understand? And I seen that manifestation. And she was hungry too, and as soon as he licked his lips and walked off, she went to the kill. He gets the choice piece of meat, he gets the satisfying portion, and he didn't even make the kill many times. He gets to sleep more, rest more, hunt less, and dies quicker. He dies years sooner than the female lions. And so he talked about that, and he said the only thing that we could figure is that he's always servicing the pride. By virtue of the fact that he has to, through prop generation, he has to service those and give forth the issue of life from his body to those lionesses. And he has a pride. You know, it's the law of polygamy working in the pride. A pride is a group of female lions. Alright? And so he has to continually service those, to bring forth, you know, the issue of life. And they said that's the only thing that we thought it might be, that why he would die sooner. And I never thought too much about it then. I said, well, it could be, you know. And the next day, I was in a bus traveling across Tanzania. It struck me like a bolt of lightning. Oh, my. You believe God can still give inspiration?
Yes.
Amen? Yes. To you. But one thing for sure, you'll know whether or not it's God if it's according to the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation.
Amen.
Amen. All right. And so all of a sudden I said, yes, sure, that's it. Praise the Lord. The lion of the tribe of Judah died as a young man. And what was he doing? He was giving forth the issue of life.
Amen.
Water, blood, and spirit.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Oh, hallelujah. And he said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life.
Right.
You're feeding on the very bread of life. When you're feeding on the Word of God.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. The very hemoglobin of God, spiritually speaking, has been given to you in this hour. Oh, think about it, church.
Yes.
What we have in our midst. Never before at any time has a people had the joy and the pleasure and the assurance of hearing and the vindicated, recorded voice of God. When Brother Branham would preach his message, he'd turn his back to the congregation and say, now, if I've told you the truth, let God amen. And we've received our last sign.
Amen.
This message that we have received, brothers and sisters, is nothing but the truth.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We've got to come to the same place Sister Hattie did. That ain't
right.
Nothing but the truth.
Amen.
When you come to that place, you can ask what you will then.
That's right.
Is that right? You're feeding on the tree of life.
Amen.
You passed from death unto life. You have recognized your day and its message. You, like the little woman at the well, have recognized the manifestation of the Word of God that the priest could not recognize. But because there was predestined representation in you, you could see it. Oh, hallelujah. If you can recognize the very manifestation of God that He promised to bring forth in your day, that's the best evidence I know that you are predestinated to feed on the tree of life.
Amen. Yes.
But He said it like this. He said, then that tree of life, accursed on a cruel Roman tree, paid the supreme sacrifice, and through that brought forth the bride tree, which will be the tree of life restored.
Amen. Right.
What did you say, Brother Branham? Go back and read it.
Mm-hmm.
Through Calvary, through the death, burial, and resurrection, through the conquering of the Trinity of Satan, death, hell, and the grave, He brought forth the restoration of the bride tree, which will be the tree of life restored. What?
Amen.
He is not complete without you and I.
Amen.
The tree of life. Hallelujah. It is not complete without every member. I'm the vine, you're the branches.
Right. Right.
What? Brother Hughes, what are you bringing? What kind of strange doctrine is this? It's not strange. There's nothing strange about that.
Right.
That's John 15:5. I am the vine, you're the branches.
In other words, you're part of the same tree.
And then the people feed on the tree of life through you.
That's right.
It's the body word. Does that make spiritual sense to believe it?
Amen.
The very manifestation of the tree of life on earth today in the form of the church. Did you realize in the message, Christ the mystery of God revealed, Brother Branham teaches plainly in that message. He said the greater works is not only to heal the sick and raise the dead, but to impart spiritual eternal life.
Yeah.
And that was given to the church. And he said, can't you see that? The greater works. What could be greater than to impart spiritual eternal life by the gospel?
Right.
By the spoken word. By your testimony. Which is the spirit of prophecy. The testimony of Jesus Christ. Do we realize what we have in our power? Do we realize what we have in our heart? Do we realize what we have in our being? On the way over here, I brought that little booklet and I was reading it in the car. And the deity of Jesus Christ, one of the first recorded messages, 49, I believe, 48, 49. And there, the deity, and Brother Graham said, not the deity in Christ. Yes, that's true. But not deity in a manger, but it has to be deity in you. It's deity in you. Oh, brothers and sisters, those of you who have the Holy Ghost, do you realize the power of God and the deity of God is in you?
Amen.
Oh, now, it's not sufficient just to have a mental conception of it. We've got to have a spiritual revelation of it.
Right.
It's got to become a reality to us. And then it'll throw us in a state of desperation to press the battle.
Amen.
And to reveal it to others.
Yes.
Amen. And to impart it to others. The tree of life. I am the vine, you're the branches. Don't it make sense to feed on the fruit of the tree of life? And the fruit comes through the branches.
Right.
It's the branches that produces the fruit. What's the purpose of the bride? Reproduce the groom.
Amen.
The main purpose of the bride is not just to take lonesomeness away from God, though that's part of it. The woman was made for the man and not the man for the woman.
Right.
You see a woman that's always trying to be satisfied and not seeking to satisfy, something's wrong somewhere.
Right.
See a church. Amen. They don't realize their position.
Right.
The woman was made for the man and not the man for the woman. And I'll tell you what, if you want to find out how to be satisfied and how to be happy, you serve your husband. You worship your, not worship necessarily now, but you worship in your place. And by so doing, as you serve your husband, you'll be serving God.
Right.
Is that what we've been taught?
Amen.
Sure.
That's right. Amen.
In the message, Restoration of the Bride Tree, Brother Branham puts it like this, bride and groom, one tree of life. Go read it. Go listen to it. See if he didn't say it. And he said, it's just like husband and wife, and some trees, you know, it's a male tree and a female tree. If they're not there to pollinate, you ain't got no fruit. It can't reproduce.
Yes.
Is that right? So the whole purpose of the bride is to reproduce the groom. Hallelujah. Is that too strong for you?
No.
Spiritual meat in due season is what it is.
Yes.
Eagles can take strong meat.
Right.
Think about it. God above us. In creation. Fatherhood. God with us in the sonship of Jesus Christ. Jehovah. Made flesh. God in us in the form of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
The same God all the time. Just taking on different forms. And it was all that was in God, he poured into Christ. All that was in Christ, he poured into the church, the bride. Is that right? Then where's Christ today? Brother Ren put it like this, the fullness of the Godhead bodily in the church.
That's right.
That's right.
That's what he said. Yeah, the fullness of the Godhead bodily in the church. Then that means the person of the tree of life is in the church.
That's right. Amen.
He said it, something like this too. The season of immortality will come when he who is immortal is come. And if we can't recognize that he is come in spirit form and in word form, then we can't recognize that she is going, that there's a going. See, we've got to recognize the process of the shout, you understand. He comes, he condescends in what? A shout.
That's right.
And the voice of the archangel and the trump. So we see then that the process is already initiated. And if you haven't recognized the shout, you haven't recognized God condescending in the shout. You haven't recognized him in the messenger. You haven't recognized him in the message. You haven't recognized him in the form of the word and in the form of the spirit. Let me leave something with you here now. In question and answers on the seals, Brother Branham said, each age had a dip in the Holy Ghost, but now, in this age, see, the Holy Ghost is here in his fullness. Think about it. Now, we believe that as far as the intercession, he must stay there and intercede, and that body must be there in representation, or there's no prayers can even be heard. Go back and listen to the fifth seal. Not just soul sleeping, but there has to be a body there representing the sacrificial body has to be there, or our prayers can't even be heard. So at the coming of the Lord, we meet the Lord in the air. We will, but every predestinated seed has to come in first. He has to remain there, intercede, until that last one comes in. But the church, see, here on earth, is what he's using to propagate the gospel. See? Remember, he's omnipresent. See? Brother Bram said, I put a little riddle to my church. He said, now, St. John 3, here he is standing on the rooftop, said, talking to Nicodemus, said, no man ascendeth up into heaven save he who's come down from heaven, even the Son of Man who is in heaven, and here he is standing on the housetop.
Right.
Even the Son of Man who is now in heaven, and here he is standing on the rooftop.
Yeah.
Brother Bram said, why? Just shows it can be nothing but the great omnipresent God. Jesus Christ was none other. Jesus Christ of the New Testament was none other than Jehovah of the Old Testament. Is that right?
Yeah.
And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's just taken on a different form.
That's right. That's right.
His form on earth is now his bride, his church. I'm the vine, you're the branches. Recognizing where he's at. He said, where there are two or three gathered together, I am in the midst of the paradise of God. Now, he couldn't be talking about the paradise that where the dead saints of the Old Testament was, because that was done away with at Calvary. And this was given 90 AD on the Isle of Patmos. Some, what, maybe 60 years later? 60 years later perhaps. After Calvary, John received this revelation that we read from tonight on the Isle of Patmos, and he said, now where is the tree of life? In the midst of the paradise of God. Now I know, you know, there's a spiritual place, referred to kind of as paradise, and we'll see and so forth. But what about the heavenly places in Christ Jesus now? That's what I want you to consider.
Right.
Because we are promised as overcomers to be made partakers of this tree of life. Now I'm going to find a place to close here, and. I failed to look at the clock when I got started. What time did I get started? We started about 7, didn't we? And I probably got in the pulpit maybe about 7:30, something like that. And so now it's almost 8:30. You don't have to look at your watch, I'll just tell you. If you believe me, it's 25 after 8. Can I have 5 more minutes? Now, Lord, help me know what I was going to say. Sometimes we're so heavenly minded we're no earthly good, and then sometimes we're so earthly minded we're no heavenly good. Heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That was it. Okay. All right. See, when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you pass from time to eternity right there. You have already passed. Now, not the physical, because it wasn't the body that got born again. Okay? This body still has to be birthed out here. Flesh and blood is not inherit. It's got to be changed. See, it's three bodies. The celestial body, this body that was born in sin, shaped iniquity, and then the glorified body. It all has to come together at the right place at the right time to form the glorified body. But now, when we consider here just for a moment, this great person of the tree of life, see, being in the church, in the midst of the paradise of God. See, we are, when we're gathered together like this, we are in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. See? And we're feeding. See, not upon the words of a man. That fails. But we're feeding upon the unfailing body word of the Son of Man, which is none other than Jesus Christ, which is the person of the tree of life. Now, since the Lord brought that thought back to me, I'm just going to let that be my concluding thought. So, just stay with me just for a moment now, okay? Give me your undivided attention as we close. And then I'll just turn the service back to our pastor. And I really, really appreciate the confidence, you know, and the welcome and warm spirit. I feel no resentment here at all tonight, or no suspicion or superstition, or, you know. I appreciate that. I just love it. That just gives you freedom, you know, and so forth. But listen to this. We have five kingdoms that God has ordained. And let's just try to make it as simple as we possibly can and consider these five kingdoms in closing. Because we're still talking about feeding on the person of the tree of life. Okay? We've got the mineral kingdom. We created the heavens and the earth. All right, so now we have the mineral kingdom in the earth. We have the plant life and so forth. And then we have the animal kingdom, and then we have the kingdom of man. And then above that is the kingdom of God. Five kingdoms. Is that okay? Just for sake of trying to get my point across. Five kingdoms. Mother Earth, the mineral kingdom. Just above that, then, is the plant botany kingdom. And above that is the animal kingdom. And above that is the kingdom of humanity. And then above that is the kingdom of God. Five major kingdoms. Even though you could break it down into topics and so forth, and different branches. But let's just take it for the sake of simplicity, these five kingdoms. Until a seed is planted in Mother Earth, she can't bring forth. So there had to be a seed planted, and every seed will bring forth of its own kind. All right? And then we have an oak tree that you can't reach halfway around the base of that thing. It's a large, big white oak, American white oak, in our front yard. And that came from a little acorn that was no bigger than your thumb. Where did that tree come from? That seed planted in the earth transformed the mineral kingdom into the botany kingdom, and here's this big, huge oak tree, and then capable of producing a forest, many bushels of acorns, many bushels of leaves, etc. From one little seed. Alright? But it had to be planted, and then there was a transformation taking place after that. That seed had to die. Yes. And only the predestinated germatized seed from God has spiritual representation that can die and bring forth the very nature and soul of God in manifestation. Yes. Okay. One place where the Brethren said, that's what I'm talking about. I think it was the one of his third four messages, Souls in Prison Now. He said, the soul of God, the mind of God that's in every believer. What? the soul of God in every believer? If it's not the soul of God, whose soul is it? If it's not the nature of God, whose is it?
Right.
If it's the nature of God, then it's the seed of God. Every seed has a nature, a characteristic. See, now each of one of us have a different ring to our bell. We have our own personalities, but that's the way God, because God wanted to be a family. Did you know that Brother Branham said Elohim can never be Elohim again? Let that soak in.
Yeah.
Put that in your craw and digest it.
Yeah.
Little eagles. Yeah. Elohim can never be Elohim again. Why? Because he's now Jehovah dwelling with his family.
That's
just as eternal as he is eternal, because they have eternal life imparted already. They have fed on the tree of life. See? Now look. Look at the grass. The animal comes and eats the grass, or they eat the acorns, and they feed. The elephant even feeds on the leaves of the trees and so forth. The higher kingdom always feeds on the lower kingdom. See? Just like the botany kingdom feeds on Mother Earth, then the animal kingdom feeds on the botany kingdom. And something of the lower kingdom has to be taken into the higher kingdom in order for the higher kingdom to live.
That's right.
Something of the mineral kingdom had to come into the botany kingdom to give birth and life to that. Nutrients from the earth, from mother, you know, like a placenta. All right? Now, so we see then, the animal comes along, feeds on the botany kingdom, and man comes along and kills the animal, puts the steak on the table, and he's feeding on the mineral kingdom, the botany kingdom, and the animal kingdom, that he might live by the lower kingdoms. But God does not come down and kill man to live on humanity. But God comes down and becomes part of the humanity and bleeds and dies and says, feed on me.
Yeah.
And you can be transformed into the higher kingdom.
Amen. That's right.
By feeding on the higher kingdom.
Right. Amen.
Everybody with me?
Yes.
In St. John 6, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Cannibalism? No. The words that I speak unto you,
Man. They
are spirit and they are life.
That's right.
Oh, you see the power of the spoken word?
Man.
And faith to believe it?
That's right.
How can you faith? Don't just accept it. Just believe it. Just let it have preeminence in your heart and life.
Man.
Give it conception. Give way to the word of God. Let it be conceived. Let according to thy word. See, the secret is this, the song you were singing when we come out here, the secret is this, Brother Brad said, the word is in the bride even as it was in Mary.
That's right. Amen.
How many's bride?
Amen.
Come on now. Then you are cradling eternal life in your soul.
Amen.
Can no more die because what you fed on the higher kingdom that has condescended into this kingdom to give you power. Transforming power.
Right.
And we're in the season of transformation now because he who is present is the transformer. He who is immortal has come down among us mortals and transformed our mortal beings.
Amen.
From doubt and unbelief to faith,
amen,
confidence, quickened even these mortal bodies to be overcomers. What brought you to church? What brought your mortal body here? What brought your mortal body into subjection, made you quit drinking, smoking, cussing,
right,
fighting, committing adultery?
Right.
That was him.
Right.
Quickening your mortal body. And it's going to transform this mortal even into the immortal. Why? We're in the season of immortality.
Amen.
We come to the seventh from Adam. Once again, not the seventh from the first Adam, Enoch, who took a rapture then, but now we're the seventh generation from the second Adam. Seven church ages.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Ready for translation. Ready for a rapture. Closing. Brother Bram said, the rapture is inside of you.
That's right.
Don't resent that now. So that can prove it.
All right, baby.
Didn't Jesus say, I'm the resurrection and the life?
That's right.
Then if the resurrection is a person and not just a place or a thing only, then the rapture is also
the same person.
Right.
The rapture-er, the resurrect-er, is in you. The rapture-er is in you. Is that wonderful?
Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord. I'm glad you're letting your pastor go on a little vacation. Absence makes the heart grow fonder. Just don't let it go yonder, okay? And he's going to be going with us, I understand, here for, and we'll be able to have some good, sweet fellowship together. And I just know it's going to be wonderful. I thank the Lord for allowing me to come be with you. I don't want to take advantage of it. You might, if I try to tell it all tonight, I won't have nothing to tell you anymore. So God bless you, your pastor, brother. Well, I tell you what, let's just bow our heads for a moment as our brother comes. Would you like to stand together?
And I wonder if we could just have a word of prayer as he comes. Heavenly Father, tonight your children have been so receptive, so earnestly, like little eaglets, Lord, with their little beaks open, feeding on the bread of life. Oh, truly, Father, you are so wonderful to us. And now, Lord, let us know that we are made partakers and that we're in process now of being transformed. Oh God, I pray that your words will not return void, but they'll find bedding ground deep in the hearts of your children. And Lord, may they bring forth of their own kind, as the law of God has declared, every seed shall bring forth of its own kind. May it build faith in the hearts of these your children. May they be encouraged. May they love one another. May they realize that they're called, even as Christ is the mystery of God revealed. And may that same Christ be revealed in them. And as Christ is a central theme, may each of them be the central theme as Christ is manifested in them. Grant it, Master. We're committing the little message, these your children, into your hands now. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. God bless you, Brother Tony.
Wonderful.
Amen.
Amen. I can tell you, Brother Hughes and I, we just kind of think on the same lines, I guess, the way we process things that God's given us this day. But I can see now, I think many years ago, or thinking back many years ago, when he came through here and preached at Brother Shepherd's, and he said, you'd have to ask me about when that was, and I'll be honest with you, I probably have to ask my wife, and then I think... I'm not sure she remembers, but anyway, I wouldn't have guessed back then that we'd be where we are tonight and that our brother would be here ministering to us. But his ministry spoke to me back then, and again tonight I've thoroughly enjoyed this. So we're going to sing just a little bit of song or two before we go and worship the Lord. Just don't want to rush out too quick. We'll just pour some praise upon the Word. Amen. We're going to sing this song.
Oh, can't you see why I'm so happy? Oh, I've accepted the word of the Lord. The revenge.
Brother spoke so many good things tonight, and I just think it's wonderful myself. Amen. He's talking about Elohim. Wouldn't be Elohim again, man, because he's got children now. He's got that life with him. We talked Thursday night. We were talking about birth. And once something is actually birthed, it takes a life of its own. Right? You can't unbirth something, you know what I'm saying? So you have justification or sanctification, but it takes that birth, and when you are born again, that life is now alive in you. It takes on itself a nature of its own, and it can't be reversed at that point.
That's right.
And once that comes into being in you and you and you and you, God's got a family now.
Amen.
He'll never be by himself again.
Amen.
That was the very thing he wanted to begin with,
was to
have a family.
Yes.
So we just appreciate knowing those things. And I know Brother Hughes didn't know anything about our midweek service. We've been going through Ephesians chapter 1. We've had five services on that. And so this, what we heard tonight, is just right there, just like that, with what the Lord's been giving us. And so I appreciate that. And that's really the cry of my heart. Maybe that's why Brother Hughes and I connected. It's a cry of my heart is for you to see exactly what it is, that who you are, and what really has been given to you, that really in you, when God gets ready to take the church and rapture, all he's going to do is take himself, and you've got to go with him when he does that, because he's in you. And that there is a people that is that manifestation of him, right? There won't be another people to come. We are it. And we know that because the Word has made it to be so. And so I like that he talked about the government being upon his shoulders, and the shoulders part of the body, not the head, right? But that head is on those shoulders, right? So we appreciate that, knowing that God, that the fruit being out on the end of the limb, as he said. And I've often illustrated that, you know, that if I was going to need to maybe get an apple or something like that, and I'd climb a tree, I wouldn't probably do too good if I would just hang on to the trunk, you know. But you got to get off out there where it's kind of shaky.
Yeah.
Right? You got to get out there where it's shaky. We got to get out there and recognize the fruit is behind badger skin.
Hallelujah.
And get off out there where it's shaky, but if you get out there away from the sturdiness of the trunk out there, then you'll know. And what I think of that, I think of what Brother Bram said about teaching, how the teaching ministry, the teaching can walk out on ground that nobody else could go out on. Because they can get out there and they can say things that maybe somebody else might not want to, because they've been gifted to do that. But it's out there, those truths out there, that's what God can really do something down inside. And as Brother Bram said, it would place you positionally. The teaching does that.
Amen.
And so when you think of that, then you go right back to Ephesians. The book of Ephesians parallels the book of Joshua, right?
Amen.
That Joshua would place people in their promise.
That's right.
That where they were to be in their promise, and all the things that had been committed to them by promise, he put them in that so they could possess it and exercise it. And that's what the book of Ephesians does, and that's what the teaching of the Word does, and that's what you heard tonight, was to place that word down inside you so that you can begin to act out exactly what God has called you to be. It's a glorious message, and I've said many times, this world don't know. And when it comes time for them to step up into that day and to realize what went on in their midst, and who it was they worked with, and who it was they were neighbors with, they're going to be astounded to realize that God had come down, and that God was actually manifesting himself. The same God, just a different body, different flesh, right? Different people. So we thank the Lord for that. Let's sing, "If the same Spirit raised Christ from the dead dwells in you." We get ready to go. Looking forward to service in the morning. I could listen for hours. Amen. Hours and hours.
If the same Spirit raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. Well,
Now, Lord, we are placing our faith on our sister and this sickness, this infirmity, this problem that she had. And we rebuke the power of faith that has caused this problem. Yes, Lord, we're asking for a proper and calm function of her entire being.
Yes,
Lord. You said in your word, beloved, I wish you all things that help you. This little innocent child, we can't believe it. So now, Father, we curse the powers of Satan.
Yes,
and we rest our faith. We believe, Lord, that you're hearing right now our prayers. Lord, we leave this, in this problem in your hands.
Yes,
and we go forth with full expectation now, and waiting and watching, Lord, for the positive testimony.
Thank you.
Oh, grant your Father, accept it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Thing that you can, man, is to believe it. Just to remember that Brother Branham said, the best thing that God can give a man outside of salvation is a good wife. And you translate that by typology is that what's the greatest thing that Jesus Christ could ever receive?
It's
a bride. A good wife. Amen. So God bless you. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord.
Simon, raise Christ from the dead. Thank you.